Good morning and welcome into the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there, I am Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host. Hoping you're having a terrific day and that everything in your neighborhood is just hunky and dory at the same time. If it is, please call the Guinness Book of Records. You might get an entry. Holy cow, the crazy train is overbooked today. There's so much stuff to talk about. And it's one of those days where, as I was looking at content yesterday, I really wasn't all that happy about what I was seeing. And then as the day progressed, the insanity that's happening in Washington, D.C. dialed up, and the next thing you know, we've got lots to talk about. So, without further ado, let us dive in. First, you know there's been this thing that's gone around on social media, on the internet, where you can put in the search into Google, a Florida man, the phrase, a Florida man, and then these stories stack up. All of these bizarre, weird, disgusting, horrible things, which are prefaced by the phrase, a Florida man, and then there's the story. A Florida man drove his pickup truck, you know, off of a bridge into something, or, you know, that kind of a story. It's just bizarre stuff. Well, I have a Florida woman story to kick things off this morning, because doggone it, we need something besides politics to talk about. There was a traffic stop in Florida on Monday, and what a Florida woman did just might rank up on that list of the state's list of odd reported crimes. 25-year-old Ariel Machan Lequier was in the passenger seat of a vehicle about 3:30 a.m. in Punta Gorda when she was pulled over, according to the Miami Herald, citing an incident report from the Charlotte County's Sheriff's Department. The department says the woman was asked if she had anything else in the vehicle. That's a normal question during a traffic stop. They're standing outside. It's a pickup truck. And then she proceeded to pull a 1 foot long alligator out of her yoga pants and place it into the bed of the truck. She was along there with a 22-year-old driver, Michael Clemens. They claimed they were trying to collect wildlife from underneath an overpass. Investigators say the woman also had a backpack, and inside that backpack were some small turtles. 41 small turtles. The sheriff's office called Florida Fish and Wildlife to take over at that point, because what they were doing is really illegal. 41 turtles and an alligator. By the way, that's my new band name. 41 turtles and an alligator were collected by these two, and they were stopped at 3:30 a.m. Here's a little hint. Nothing good is happening if there's a traffic stop at 3:30 a.m., apparently, especially in the state of Florida. So, congratulations, folks. You've been added to the list of crazy people who've done weird things in the state of Florida. Oh, my gosh. I saw this story pop up just as the intro music was playing, and I thought, wait a minute, what? She's got turtles in her backpack and a 1 foot long baby alligator in her yoga pants. All right then. And I can see the cop is probably, he's looked them both over, and he can see these are yoga pants. You know, yoga pants, they'd leave nothing to the imagination. He's looked him over and he sees, well, there's an alligator in her pants. I might as well ask her. What's she going to say? No. What if she did say no? And he pointed the flashlight at the long and rather squirmy bulge in her yoga pants. That whole scenario is just beautiful. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Florida. Thank you so much for starting things off with a laugh this morning. It may be the last laugh no. Trust me, there's another one, a good one coming. Oh, man. So many things are happening with the House panel voting to hold Attorney General Barr in contempt of Congress. It goes to the full Congress. They'll push it hard. Since they're in control, they'll ignore every Republican. That's what they're doing anyway. They're ignoring the Republicans, everything they have to say about anything. They just ignore them and do what they want to do, which is what they do every time they're in power, because power and control is everything to these people. But it'll go to the full Congress. They'll push it through. And we're going to have a look at that. Plus, we're going to have a look back to the year 2012, 7 years ago, when Eric Holder was held in contempt. We're going to see what a Representative Doug Collins has to say about the whole thing. And hopefully we'll get through the whole stack. Okay, I'm telling a lie. We won't get through the whole stack today. But if you're a newsletter subscriber, you're going to get a great stack today. It's a good reason. It's a good incentive to get signed up. So let's kick it off with Fox News host Laura Ingraham from The Ingraham Angle last night. This is a bit over 6 minutes in length, but it's worth the listen. So let's hear what Laura Ingraham has to say about all of this craziness.
Now, as they prepared to vote for a resolution of contempt against Attorney General Bill Barr, Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee revealed themselves once again. It's a depressing and yet very illuminating spectacle for our country to see elected officials acting like meth dealers. Because after relentlessly pushing Russian collusion for 2 years, they were finally busted. No collusion and no obstruction. But Democrats refuse to accept reality, and instead they continue to sell their poison to scandal addicts on the left.
The collusion part of the Mueller report recounts the constant interaction of Trump operatives with Russian adversaries.
If you think there's no collusion and no obstruction, you haven't read the Mueller report.
Mr. Trump gets on the telephone with Mr. Putin and has a 90-minute conversation or something like that, where he can see on a phone call that he smiled at him.
That's your leader, the commander in chief.
Oh, yeah, you're going to win the presidency with that line. Now, to keep the high going, Democrats hold out Bill Barr, two-time attorney general, as their new nemesis. And then they create a phony conflict that's focused on a narrow set of redactions in the Mueller report and on Barr's refusal to testify again on the Hill after Democrats changed the rules for his questioning.
This is all part of a cover-up. We have lawful responsibilities, constitutional responsibilities to engage in, one of which is possibly impeachment. How can we impeach without getting the documents? Whoops. And so I ask my colleagues on the other side to stop obfuscating.
It's Hank Johnson.
That is a very hard word to say. That's not fair. All right. Barr wasn't ever legally required to release the full report to Congress. We forget that. Nor is he legally allowed to release certain redacted parts of it. And the Democrats know this. Now, most of them on the committee are lawyers. Well, maybe they passed a different type of bar exam. I don't know. Barr has bent over backwards in an effort to accommodate Democrats and to be transparent. But none of that matters, because this is all theater. It's all choreography. It's wrapped up in a bogus concern about congressional oversight.
This obstruction means the end of congressional oversight.
We're afraid of the loss of the power of Congress to be an independent and co-equal branch of government.
Lying.
I liked him better with the chicken, when he was holding the chicken. Now, Democrats have all they need to do their constitutional oversight. Mueller spent 2 years and $30 million producing the report. So if the Democrats really want to impeach the president, they should convene hearings tomorrow. Democrats have been given the option by the DOJ to read everything but a very minimally redacted copy of the Mueller report. But guess what? None of them have actually gone to review it or read it over at the DOJ. Tells you all you need to know. But after winning their majority in November, Democrats promising results and focus?
Democrats pledge, again, a new majority, our For the People agenda. Lower health care costs, lower prescription drugs, bigger paychecks, building the infrastructure, clean up corruption to make America work for the American people's interest, not the special interest.
But what do they have to show the American people? Nothing.
I think it was maybe the ranking member said we should be doing legislation, and how many signatures, how many bills have been signed into law by this committee? Well, ask Mitch McConnell, who has declared that the Senate is a graveyard for all legislation that comes from the House. We have passed outstanding legislation out of this committee. It's gone to the graveyard.
More excuses, more blame shifting from Chicken Man, more Russia hysteria, no attempt to work with Republicans on the border crisis or much of anything. Now, they may have voted to hold the Attorney General in contempt today, but what they really did is to hold you, the American people, in contempt. Savvier than Democrats obviously think they are, I think most working people, they just want government to function properly and to stay out of their lives. And if two recent polls are any indication, the American people are letting the Democrats know where they stand. On the economy, a recent CNN poll showed that 56% of Americans approved of the president's handling of the economy. That's a new high. And the most recent Gallup poll, conducted almost entirely in the weeks following the Mueller report, showed that Trump is enjoying his highest approval yet in their survey at 46%. At the same time in his presidency, well, Barack Obama was at 44%. I seem to remember that he actually won his re-election. So what's the real motivation here on the part of the Democrats? Congressman Jordan nailed it today.
I don't think today's actually about getting information. I don't think it's about getting the unredacted Mueller report. I don't think last week's hearing was actually about having staff question the Attorney General. It's all about trying to destroy Bill Barr because Democrats are nervous he's going to get to the bottom of everything. He's going to find out how and why this investigation started in the first place. What can be done to a president can be done to any of us. And this committee is supposed to look out for that fundamental fact more than anything else. And we are not doing that today.
Exactly right. And given Congress's most recent approval numbers, I'd say the American people have held them in contempt for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's
true.
The angle.
Yeah. Laura Ingraham on Fox News last night. She's nailed it. She's absolutely nailed it. And excuse me. And the American people are sick and tired of what's happening. The American people are sick and tired of Congress. You know, the approval rating for Congress in polls year after year after year are abysmal. They're just horrible. But on the local level, on the state level, people keep reelecting the same people to go back and do the same things. And it's really kind of crazy. But as we examined the other day, we live in a nation of dunces. We have been dumbed down to the degree that we'll believe whatever these people, these posturing, theatrical people in Washington, D.C., will tell us. And we'll believe whatever the evening news says. And as deep as we'll go into an article about a particular topic of interest is just a couple of paragraphs. We're talking about a population today. What was it, the figure? 10% of college grads believe Judge Judy was on the Supreme Court? If that's who we're dealing with today, and that's the outlook that we're having to break through today, it's no wonder that these clowns keep getting reelected and sent to Washington, D.C. We should not be surprised. But this whole dog and pony show that's going on right now, with holding Attorney General Barr in contempt and ignoring the reality of what is actually going on here, is exactly what I just said. It's a dog and pony show. It's a distraction. It's all theater. It's just to distract the American people from the fact that Attorney General Barr, as he said when he was being questioned by the Senate last week, he said, "I would just like to know how we got to where we are right now." And that is what he's doing right now. He's looking into how we got to this place where we are right now. And as we'll hear in just a little bit. That's what's got these people, the Democrats, scared. Because they know that they're guilty of some very dirty political moves. And they know that they're about to be exposed for who and what they really are. And they and their accomplices in the mainstream progressive press are not happy about it. More after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thanks for being along today. You really do need to get today's show notes. You really do, because there's so much great stuff in the show notes. Oh my, everything from the alligator in the pants to everything we'll talk today in the show notes, plus more. So get signed up today. Go to markcongleton.com. Fill out the form on the right-hand side of the page. Answer yes to the email. It's making sure you really want to do this. And then you'll start getting those daily doses of the Daily Perspective coming to your inbox as well. Well, the House Judiciary Committee voted yesterday to recommend holding Attorney General Bill Barr in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena for a special counsel Robert Mueller's unredacted Russia report and underlying documents after President Trump asserted executive privilege in a bid to protect those files from release. Both developments represented a major escalation in the already tense fight between the two branches of government over access to information from the Justice Department. They say that they can't legally release the stuff. The committee's 24-16 vote on contempt for Barr was along party lines and came after hours of debate. House leaders will now decide whether to take up the contempt citation on the House floor for a final vote. If approved, the measure would be referred to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, who could choose not to act. House Democrats could also pursue a lawsuit. It says here it was a 24-16 vote along party lines after hours of debate. Well, okay, they had hours of debate, which consisted of people posturing and making statements. And the Democrats in advance already agreed to doing what they were going to do. They just went through the formality of letting everybody have their say. And then they did what they were going to do anyway. There was no real debate. There was a lot of posturing. There were a lot of passionate statements. There were a lot of scripted statements. But it wasn't really a debate. To call it hours of debate is disingenuous at the very least. I think it's an absolute lie. Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler, Democrat in New York, said after the vote, "We did not relish doing this, but we have no choice. Pardon me." Ha! "We've talked for a long time about approaching a constitutional crisis. We are now in it." No, we're not. "But if we were, it's a constitutional crisis of your making, Mr. Nadler. Because you are demanding that the Attorney General of the United States break federal law." A Justice Department spokeswoman in a statement accused Nadler of inappropriate political theatrics instead of working out a deal over Barr's testimony. The spokeswoman, Carrie Kupak, said, "Unfortunately, rather than allowing negotiations to continue, Chairman Nadler short-circuited these efforts by proceeding with a politically motivated and unnecessary contempt vote, which he refused to postpone to allow additional time to explore discussion and compromise." Earlier, Nadler said the president's move to invoke executive privilege shows the administration does not respect congressional oversight. That is not what that shows at all, by the way. Quote, "By invoking executive privilege on all our materials, on all of our materials that are subject to subpoena, the process has come to a screeching halt. The administration has announced loud and clear that it does not recognize Congress as a co-equal branch of government with independent constitutional oversight authority and it will continue to wage its campaign of obstruction. That entire statement is misdirection. That entire statement is smoke. It's basically just one massive lie. Georgia Representative Doug Collins, the top Republican on the committee, fired back at committee Democrats and called Wednesday's vote a cynical, mean-spirited, counterproductive, and irresponsible step. Quote, "Democrats are angry. The special counsel's report did not produce the material or conclusions they expected to pave their path to impeaching the president. I feel compelled to remind everyone, the report found that despite offers to do so, no one from the Trump campaign knowingly conspired with the Russian government. They are angry our nation's chief law enforcement officer and his deputy had the audacity to decide the evidence did not support charges for obstructing an investigation into something the president didn't do." Well said, sir. The president's decision to invoke privilege came after the Justice Department late Tuesday night requested that the House Judiciary Committee postpone the scheduled vote to hold Barr in contempt. The Justice Department warned that if the committee did not postpone, the Attorney General would recommend that Trump claim executive privilege over the materials. On Wednesday, the White House did just that. Let's see here. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, in a statement yesterday, said this: "The Attorney General has been transparent and accommodating throughout this process, including by releasing the no collusion, no conspiracy, no obstruction Mueller report to the public and offering to testify before the committee. These attempts to work with the committee have been flatly rejected. They didn't like the results of the report, and now they want a redo. Faced with Chairman Nadler's blatant abuse of power, and at the Attorney General's request, the president has no other option than to make a protective assertion of executive privilege." Protective. Remember that word, protective. What is he protecting? He is protecting grand jury information. That includes the names of some people who testified, who don't need to be harmed by political posturing, which is exactly what will happen if the Democrats get a hold of this information. They will find out the names of certain people, and unscrupulous members of the Democrat Party, like Adam Schiff, will reveal these names, and those people's lives will be ruined, even though there's really nothing about these people that has much to do with anything except for the fact that they sat and answered a few questions. But they will do everything they can to damage these people, just like they're trying to damage Attorney General Barr and the president right now. Assistant Attorney General Stephen Boyd sent a letter to Jerry Nadler yesterday morning, saying the same thing. Quote, "We're disappointed that you've rejected the Department of Justice's request to delay the vote of the committee on the judiciary on a contempt finding against the Attorney General this morning." He added that the committee has terminated our ongoing negotiations and abandoned the accommodation process. "Unfortunately, rather than allowing negotiations to continue, you scheduled an unnecessary contempt vote, which you refused to postpone to allow additional time for compromise. Accordingly, this is to advise you that the president has asserted executive privilege over the entirety of the subpoenaed materials. As I indicated in my letter to you last night, this protective assertion of executive privilege ensures the president's ability to make a final decision whether to assert privilege following a full review of these materials." In a separate letter sent Tuesday, Boyd stressed that Barr already has offered a select group of congressional Democrats the opportunity to review a minimally redacted version of the report, excluding only grand jury information. But Nadler and the Democrats have refused to even review the materials. Now, this is something that's come up again and again and again, and I can't overemphasize it. These people who keep saying things like, "When you read the report, you know how guilty he is," have not read the report. They haven't looked at it. They haven't gone to see what has been offered to them. They're lying. The vote to hold Barr in contempt escalates the standoff between the Justice Department and congressional Democrats over Mueller's full report and over Barr's failure to appear for a scheduled hearing before the committee last week after disagreements over the format of the hearing. Democrats on the committee wanted to have their staff question Barr. The Justice Department wanted only members to do the questioning. Barr did not appear, and the committee held a meeting with an empty witness chair. And, of course, one jackwagon with a bucket of KFC and a plastic chicken. Democrats have blasted Barr for weeks over his handling of the special counsel's report. Barr initially released a four-page summary of Mueller's findings, announcing in late March that the special counsel found no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and Russia during the 2016 presidential election. Mueller did not come to a conclusion on whether the president obstructed justice, but Barr said the evidence was not sufficient to charge the president with such an offense. And that's why the evidence was not sufficient to make that charge. He couldn't come to the conclusion that the president obstructed justice because the evidence that he did so was not there. While Democrats have criticized Barr for that swift conclusion, they have sought the completely unredacted version of the report in a bid to learn more about what information Mueller gathered regarding the obstruction probe. In other words, this two-year circus that's gone on with Robert Mueller and the investigation, with complete transparency and cooperation from the White House on everything they ask for, is not enough. Mueller was their hero, their savior, their knight in shining armor. And when he, with $30 million and 2.5 years of research, couldn't come up with the damning information they so deeply and passionately wanted, they've decided it's up to them to reinterpret everything he found and come to the conclusion they want. Daily Perspective. Hi there. As we continue to look at this insanity that's going on in Washington, D.C. with the Democrats in Congress voting to hold, or at least the committee, holding Bill Barr in contempt of Congress, they'll push that through to the floor, to the whole House before long, and they're rushing things. They really are rushing things. It took quite a while for this to happen when Eric Holder was judged in contempt of Congress. And it was actually a bipartisan vote back then. And a lot of people don't realize that. There's been a lot of posturing going on. There's been a lot of huffing and puffing. It's kabuki theater. It's the standard play for these people who are supposed to be the heroes of the American people. These people who have campaigned and promised to do certain things for their constituents, like helping with infrastructure and jobs and housing and interest rates and the like. They've made all these promises in order to get into office. And all they've done for 2.5 years is push Russia, Russia, Russia. And now that Russia is off the table because their knight in shining armor didn't deliver what they had hoped and prayed he would, well, they're doing everything they can to stir things up and to make it look really, really bad. And it's all just optics. There's really no substance to it. None whatsoever. And the Mueller report has shown that. It's just craziness. These people are asking the Attorney General of the United States of America to break federal law. And they know it. It's just crazy. Now, there's an article in the Daily Signal, by Fred Lucas, that I want to share with you. And it's looking back at the last time this happened with Eric Holder. Some Democratic lawmakers threatened to handcuff and lock up Attorney General William Barr, but holding someone in contempt of Congress rarely is more than a censure vote. The most relevant comparison? In a bipartisan vote, 17 House Democrats joined the Republican majority in 2012
to hold then Attorney General Eric Holder in criminal contempt of Congress for not providing thousands of pages of documents regarding Operation Fast and Furious, a serious scandal for the Obama administration. I want you to remember that, because Obama and his sycophants are saying they were scandal-free. You know, Joe Biden is saying that now on the campaign trail. There was not a single smidgen, a whiff of scandal. Well, one of them, just one of many, was Operation Fast and Furious. More Democrats, a total of 21, joined Republicans to find Holder in civil contempt. Two Republicans voted against the criminal contempt citation. Fast and Furious, a Justice Department program, allowed hundreds of American guns to flow to Mexican drug trafficking organizations. However, the Justice Department lost track of the guns. In late 2010, one of those guns was found at the scene of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry's murder. The House at the time was under Republican control, and the criminal and civil contempt citations originated in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee under Chairman Daryl Issa, Republican from California. Democrats now control the House, and one of Barr's harshest critics is Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, a Democrat from New York. Democratic lawmakers gave Barr a deadline of Monday to provide a completely unredacted copy of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential campaign and potential ties to President Donald Trump. Barr responded that he has provided as much of the report as he is allowed to provide by law, because it contains grand jury information and material that potentially could jeopardize an ongoing investigation. By contrast, the contempt vote on Holder was legitimate, said Hans von Spakovsky, a former Justice Department lawyer and co-author with journalist John Fund of the 2000 book Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. Quote, here, Barr has given Congress complete access to the report except for some parts. By the way, Spakovsky is now a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and he's telling this to the Daily Signal. He goes on to say, Holder refused to provide information on Fast and Furious. He was trying to cover up the most reckless Department of Justice ever, which led to the death of a Border Patrol agent. The improper thing in the Barr case is that they want to hold him in contempt for following federal law. Von Spakovsky said he doubts a contempt citation for Barr would have the same bipartisan backing that the Holder citation drew. And he was right, by the way. The unredacted Mueller report is already available in a secure room for members of Congress to view, but not to remove or take notes or photographs. I've explained that to you before. They have to leave their cell phone. They can't take writing material or anything like that into the room, but they can look at the report. The Daily Signal sought comment from Holder by phone and email at the law firm of Covington and Burling, where he is a partner, and the National Democratic Redistricting Commission, where he is chairman. Neither organization had responded as of publication time. After the House voted to find Holder in contempt of Congress, Deputy Attorney General James Cole, Holder's number two, issued a letter to the House stating, the department will not bring the congressional contempt citation before a grand jury or take any other action to prosecute the Attorney General. Several Democrats indicate it would be different this time and talk about putting Barr behind bars inside the Capitol. Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee, told CNN's Anderson Cooper, you have to have him sit for a hearing and you have to have him locked up until he agrees to participate and come to the hearing. It shows we want to hold him in contempt, but the fact is he won't be held in contempt because the Justice Department is not going to enforce a contempt citation against their boss. The move is a partisan attempt to discredit Barr, who intends to investigate whether the FBI acted properly in moving to surveil a Trump aide during the 2016 campaign. This says J. Christian Adams, a former Justice Department lawyer and author of Injustice, Exposing the Racial Agenda of the Obama Justice Department. Quote, the reason they're doing this, threatening contempt, is because Barr is turning his attention to the real misconduct that occurred, namely, using the U.S. government's intelligence apparatus to target an opposition presidential campaign. Adams, now president of an election integrity group called the Public Interest Legal Foundation, is quoted by the Daily Signal saying so. Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat, California, talked about handcuffs and jail for Barr on MSNBC, but got a skeptical response from the host, Chris Matthews. She said, subpoenas are going to fly now, And when they're not complied with, we have what's called inherent contempt proceedings, which means we send a sergeant at arms out to handcuff the individual who is declining to testify. Matthews asked, "Who are you going to handcuff?" And Speer answered, "I'm going to start with Mr. Barr and bring him in. Once there are specific subpoenas and he does not comply with them, he can be brought before the House. He can be tried. He can either be held there to testify or he can be punished. And there is actually a jail in the Capitol which has been used as recently as 1930. And although that's going back almost a century, Cohen and Speer are legally correct about the authority of the Congress. In the 1821 case of Anderson versus Dunn, the Supreme Court held that Congress has the right to enforce contempt citations if the executive branch will not. Otherwise, the High Court ruled the legislative branch would be exposed to every indignity and interruption that rudeness, caprice, or even conspiracy may meditate against it. Wow, that's a great statement. And they're so correct about that. In 1927, the Senate sent the sergeant-at-arms to Ohio to arrest and detain former Attorney General Harry Daugherty's brother, Mally Daugherty, in a probe that stemmed from the Teapot Dome scandal. The Supreme Court upheld the action on the part of the Congress. However, Congress no longer has its own jail. Capitol Police, however, maintain a holding cell. Congress held administration officials in contempt of Congress in several other cases, but none resulted in incarceration. After IRS official Lois Lerner refused to cooperate with the House's investigation of the agency's alleged targeting of Tea Party groups in 2013, by the way, this is another scandal that doesn't exist, remember, the House voted to hold her in contempt of Congress. The Obama administration's Justice Department declined to prosecute. When President George W. Bush, a Republican, was in office, the Democrat-controlled House voted in 2007 to hold White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolten and White House Counsel Harriet Myers in contempt of Congress for not providing information on the president's firing of U.S. attorneys. During Republican Ronald Reagan's presidency, the Democrat-controlled House voted to hold Ann Gorsuch, administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, in contempt for failing to provide information about a hazardous waste cleanup site. Gorsuch was the first cabinet-level administration official to face a contempt citation, according to the New York Times. Reagan's EPA chief is the mother of Neil Gorsuch, now a justice on the Supreme Court. So you can see the Democrats are no strangers to this particular move. But when it came to the case of Eric Holder, it was a bipartisan move. The Obama administration and Eric Holder had developed a scheme, fast and furious, where they were going to try to prove that U.S. gun dealers were selling guns to Mexican cartels. And as a result, they were going to try to prove that they needed more oversight and control over federal gun dealers than they already had. They were going to try to use the case to persuade the people that the Second Amendment needed to be reevaluated. They were going to try to take away your right to bear arms as a result. And it backfired. Because as progressive administrations tend to do, they got sloppy. They got cocky. Their arrogance outstripped their ability. And they screwed up. And everything fell apart. And we're watching this same arrogance on display right now in the House of Representatives with the Democrats in control. They're arrogant, and they're drunk with power, and they're hoping against all hope to destroy William Barr so they can destroy Donald Trump. And that's what this is all about. Like I said, it's theater. And there's more on the other side of the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back. This is the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Well, it's wall-to-wall William Barr and Congress today. And I know we're covering and saying the same things again and again, but these are the stories from yesterday. Aside from, you know, somebody with an alligator in their pants, this is what we got to talk about. So Let's continue onward. In the Washington Times, the House Judiciary Committee met Wednesday, of course, to consider holding Attorney General William Barr in contempt for refusing a congressional subpoena demanding that he fully release the Mueller report. A lightly redacted version of the special counsel report, Bob Mueller's report, into Russian meddling in the 2016 election has been public for many weeks, with printed versions leading the bestseller lists. A version of the report that is 98.5% unredacted, with 99% unredacted in the obstruction section, has been available to Congress for several weeks, but not one congressional Democrat has bothered to go to the secure facility to read it. And as I said earlier, by the way, you need to remember that. Not a single Democrat has bothered to go to the secure facility to actually read the report. They don't care about what's in the report. It's irrelevant to their purposes. Well, enter Representative Hank Johnson, Georgia Democrat, who is legislatively and politically irrelevant, and until this hearing was mostly known for asking a congressional witness if the island of Guam could tip over. I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember Hank Johnson asking about Guam tipping over? Well, let's hop in the Wayback Machine with Peabody and Sherman and go back to, let's see, this is 2011, I think. Yes, and this is not going to be easy to listen to, but it's only 2 minutes long. So listen.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's
struggling to come up with
7
words.
Miles between one shore and the other.
Wide. The word is wide.
Correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but this is, to your point, sir, I think
Admiral Robert
Guam
Willard.
Is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long.
Oh, long.
So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide
at
the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island.
Oh, this is painful.
And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that.
Would you like to get to your point, please, sir?
I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The population, I think, currently about
you can tell the admiral. The admiral's trying. He's doing everything he can to keep from laughing in this man's face. And bless his heart, he's working really hard to keep from laughing in this idiot's face. Anyway, enter Representative Hank Johnson, Georgia Democrat, legislatively, politically irrelevant, and until this hearing was mostly known for what you just heard about the island of Guam tipping over. As committee members made their own individual speeches before they voted to hold Mr. Barr in contempt, Mr. Johnson was recognized. After some standard Democrat talking points, he uttered a sentence that unintentionally revealed the true purpose of the House Democrats in their war on Bill Barr. Quote, "How can we impeach without getting the documents? How can we impeach without getting the documents? Indeed, this entire charade is not about the public's right to know, Russian interference in our elections, or the conduct of the Attorney General. It's about impeachment." Maybe someone can notify Mr. Johnson that he already has the documents available to him if he will simply go read the report. The only aspects redacted in the version that is available to Congress relate to grand jury material, which can not be released without a judge's approval. For this reason, Mr. Barr has refused to release the full version of the report. This is not the Attorney General's opinion. It is required by law. Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure prevents the disclosure of a matter before a grand jury. There are Democratic lawyers on the House Judiciary Committee. They must understand this. Impeachment is not imminent, would be a political overreach, may never happen, and ultimately will lead to nothing, since votes from 20 Republican senators would be required for President Trump to be removed from office. Could there be another motive? Representative Jim Jordan, Ohio Republican, revealed what he believes is the Democrats' primary goal, and we listened to him actually say this earlier. When he said at the hearing, "I don't think today's about getting information. I think it's about trying to destroy Bill Barr because Democrats are nervous that he's going to get to the bottom of everything." Mr. Barr said last week that he's investigating the origin of the FBI's counterintelligence investigation, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's FISA, the FISA warrant process, which he has called spying, and the Steele dossier, which the Mueller report almost entirely disproves. Democrats are trying to ruin Mr. Barr's reputation, to weaken him before he presents his findings. The House Judiciary Committee did not want Mr. Barr to testify. That's why they made the unprecedented requirement that he appear for questions from committee staff in addition to members of the committee. Mr. Barr isn't on trial. He's a cabinet official from a co-equal branch of government testifying before Congress. The Senate Judiciary Committee questioned Mr. Barr for 6 hours without needing staff to ask questions. Much of this tug of war between the executive branch and the legislative branch will be settled by the courts. That will take time. Until then, we can expect increasingly embarrassing theatrics from House Democrats. If they want to know more about the Mueller report, they can read it, but they won't, which should tell us everything we need to know. That's by Matt McAwiak. He's the president of Austin, Texas, and Washington, D.C.-based Potomac Strategy Group. He's a Republican consultant to Bush administration and Bush Cheney reelection campaign veteran and former press secretary to two U.S. senators. It's an article from the Washington Times. I think it's interesting that he said the House Judiciary Committee did not want Mr. Barr to testify. That's why they made the unprecedented requirement that he appear for questions from committee staff in addition to members of the committee. They knew that if they made this move, he would refuse to appear, and they then could find him in contempt. So they set him up for being found in contempt by doing something contemptible. He was set up. That's something that you need to scratch on the refrigerator door. The House Judiciary Committee set Attorney General William Barr up by changing the rules so he wouldn't appear, so they could find him in contempt. They orchestrated the entire thing. They don't care about what's in the report, or at least one of them would have gone to see it. None of them have. None of them have. They don't want to know what's in the report, because it's irrelevant to their purposes. All they want is to create a firestorm of negative opinion. This is what they're after. They just want people to believe the worst possible about Donald Trump, and in order to do that, they're going to make people believe the worst about William Barr. As I've said before, William Barr is possibly the most gifted legal mind currently in Washington, D.C. The man knows what he's doing, and he's doing everything by the book. He knows that he can't provide this information to them, and they know he can't provide this information to them. He is well aware that all of these people he's dealing with, all of these Democrats, are familiar with Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, and that he can't disclose anything about this matter before a grand jury. He knows they know that. So this is, as I've said so many times, is just more theater. This is the Democrats and another edition of political kabuki theater, trying to convince the uninformed that something evil is going on in the White House and in the Trump administration, when the true evil is actually happening in the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C. That's it for today. Have a great day. We'll see you back here for the Friday edition tomorrow on The Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.